God has really given us an opportunity here at this church to watch lives get changed. And I think we're having some fun doing it. I think that's the key with ministry, is that you really want the joy of the Lord to be your strength. I believe it can take a Christian a long time to understand how much God has done for them. And I want to talk about that so that we can move towards the opportunity in our lives to really grow. This book, in the book of Galatians, was a strong warning to the early church at Galatia, who had embraced another form of an add-on to what Jesus did for them. There's a big temptation in the life of every Christian to embrace an add-on, because sometimes just resting in what Christ did for you alone can make you feel like, is that enough? And people will do all types of things to sometimes verify their salvation. And the church in Galatia, that's what Paul was addressing, was that as long as they would go back to the Mosaic Law system, which would keep the sacrificial system, would honor God through that system, which Jesus, we know, completed in his substitutionary death. He fulfilled the Mosaic system. So when Jesus announces it is finished, those are words you and I have to take to heart. The script, it's on the record of God. The scripture is the record of God. That's what you always have to remember. God gave his word so that we would know how we are to respond to him as our creator, the one who made us. You're not on planet Earth by accident. Hope you know that. Okay. How many of you look forward to going through airport screening? Because I was going to say, if you do, we got to talk, okay? There will be a meeting. You know, some TSA workers, and I will say not all, seem to lack the I love my job face. I'm just not a fan of those stern faces, right? They just look at you, and they just know they got something on you, right? So you go through there, and they sometimes, not allowed, you're 1/4 ounce over in your bottle of water, right? Or whatever, they go through your bag, or you have to go. Anybody have had the hard TSA experience where you're just like, oh my goodness, this just made travel not even worth it, right? You know what I'm talking about. And then the other time you get this type of guy, he says, good to see you, how's the family? No pat down for you, He's just a happy TSA guy, and he just makes you feel terrific, right? And so some people seem to exude, I have to do this. And some people exude, I get to do this. There is a big difference in that. And do you see the difference? In other words, is it duty or delight? What's behind our serving God? And I believe that you can learn how to serve God intelligently by God working in you. I believe a lot of that begins as you understand what Christ did for you and you've laid hold of that. That's foundational to your service. Whatever you do, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the scripture says a lot about Jesus and his joy. The writer of Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you think about what Christ endured on our behalf. The joy of that was that it would bring you to God, and it would exalt him as the Savior of the world, because he's the only one who can save. See, remember what the scripture says? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many who have received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe on his name. So when you believe on the name of Jesus, you gain something so significant, you become as righteous as Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of us have been like, where could I get that? Who could make you as righteous as God except Jesus? And he does it freely. But it's because you've accepted the fact that, yes, sinful person I am. You think about what John Newton said, you know, when he was writing the great song, Amazing Grace. And how many of us have loved that song? He says, I'm a really great Savior. I'm a really great sinner, but he's a really great Savior. And that's how you need to see yourself. I'm a really great sinner, but he's a really great Savior. And as you're washed by Jesus, you now see yourself as in sainthood status. Like we all think, well, the saints are all those people who do good things, right? That's incorrect. Paul called the church at Corinth, and if you read the pretty much the first five verses of most of the apostles' writings, he's greeting the saints at Corinth, the saints at Rome, the saints at Ephesus, to all the saints, the beloved. So a saint is a person who has said, I have trusted Jesus as my own. I'm a saint in God's eyes. I have saint status. It means I've got righteousness. I've been sanctified by Christ. And so that's what we want. And as the great song says, he yielded his life. This is one of the all-time favorite lyrics of my son Aaron. He yielded his life in atonement for sin, and he opened the life gate that all may go in. Yes, you're tempted to sing it. I know you are, right? Right. Do you know that each of us should be increasing in our knowledge of what Jesus Christ's substitutionary death on the cross did for us? He paid in full our sin debt. Trust him, and then by his Spirit, love him. With his Spirit's help, you will be enabled to love him. See, because we are always in need status. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the service, that you're never really out of need, and it's okay that you know you're always in need. Need is not a bad place. It's just when you have the attitude, like, I'm all set. Got it. I'm all set. I'm covered. And that's when you try to share Jesus with people. They don't even realize what they're saying no to. They just think you're going to dump on them some religion, right? You're inviting them into a relationship, a perfect relationship that they need. They don't even realize. Most people living in darkness don't realize what Christ did for them. They have perhaps some religious history or background, and yet some of it might, I understand, but it's sort of an intellectual thing. They don't quite understand how all these pieces fit together. And we want so much that people understand the complete offer that God did for the world. And whosoever will may come. But the time is limited, as we can see. Heard of that horrible tragedy yesterday of these three Girl Scouts were killed on a Wisconsin highway. And it's just sad stories. And so we're never going to be away from sad stories. Sad stories break our hearts. But we have a God who fixes broken hearts. So if you're waiting for this world to somehow not break your heart, it's not going to happen. Jesus is the fixer of the heart. He's the giver of hope. He is the hope of hopes. And that's why you need to know now that you're saved, that you know and you love him and you are in Christ. And I really believe that this is what's a big part of Paul's final words to the Galatians. You know, Jesus had joy in knowing that his suffering could bring you in the presence of God forever. This is what happens for the believer. The condition is you and I need to run to him. Sinners must repent of unbelief, of not accepting this work for themselves. The Bible says whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Understanding this can help you see everything you do as a privilege versus a pain. That's just a pain. We always often hear people, I mean, it's just the profanity that flows out of people's mouths. You know, it's just a pain. And we all have these old baggage words that can still come back into our thinking. Because we were trained, some of us were trained in baggage. And we're learning how to let that go because I'm made free because of Jesus, right? I'm not saying you don't have any more pain, people. I know you do, right? I know I do too, but do you see life? I see some people in our church viewing life and ministry as a privilege. It is awesome to be the pastor of this church because I get to see the good stuff. And some of this good stuff, I just wish that you all could see what God's doing. Some of the great things, and I celebrate what God's doing here, and it delights my heart, and I want this to be a joy-filled, spillover, get-blessed place, okay? Real blessings that people understand the real good stuff of God. It's not just hype. We're not just a hype fest. We are intelligently knowing Christ better for what he did for us. And this comes with time in our life. It comes with process and taking your pain and turning it into privilege. Taking the things that feel sometimes really hard and ugly and difficult, and you say, I need to work this through a little bit more. Some of us need to work through it. I have had to work through many of my spiritual development issues over time. If I quit, if I said it's not worth it, I wouldn't be standing before you today. And I just say that by the grace of God. I thank God for His grace. And as I read through these wonderful verses, is that this is such an encouraging passage for the spiritual leader, the pastor, for the congregant, the church member, the new guy coming in, beat up, frustrated, achy, whatever the plan, whatever's been going on in your life. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. And I'd like to read these 10 verses from Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 is the big picture of perspective in a world of mess. You want to have a perspective in a world of mess. Because if you don't have a healthy perspective in a world of mess, it can get really ugly quickly. Your own thinking can be taken off. That's why Paul says, don't be moved off of your foundation, your firm foundation. Paul says, brethren, this is meaning believers, family. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Last week we talked about the necessity of walking in the Spirit. A lot of people think that the Holy Spirit is this mystical force that somehow just does things without your permission in one sense in your own life. You know that the Holy Spirit's going to work in you, but you have to let Him. God is going to get His plan accomplished, but you want to be one that could be used by Him. And I believe that's what Paul was really urging trying to bring these believers who've now, this is a recovery period for these Galatian believers, because they're somehow going to have to get back to the essentials of what's going to cause them to really grow. You and I really don't grow. We are part of the process, let me say. No one's going to take that Bible for you and open it. You're going to do that. No one's going to take a verse of Scripture. I mean, somebody can do this for you, but the real ones that are, even if somebody gives you a scripture, hey, you should memorize this. Well, if you didn't own that, you're not going to do it. Let's just be honest. Most people who want to grow in Christ, they're going to take some pain. It's just going to be there. I mean, think about the pain that you put in to get to your job, or your pain you put in to put food on the table. Do your meals just magically appear every night? They don't. What makes you think your spiritual growth is going to be anything less than effort, in one sense, of actually initiating? Because there's wonderful working power as the Scripture becomes alive to our own hearts. If your meals do get ready every day on their own, please invite me. I want that secret. My wife and I, Amanda and Aaron, are just like, oh, it's another meal, you know. But I think we do our best to take that into privilege versus pain. I get to do this. I get to care for my family. I get to do this job. I get to. And I think that's a big part of serving God, you know, putting that smile on your face. And I'm so thankful for you all. I really am, for what God's doing and your joy. And you guys spill over on me, which is really cool. I'm like, just seeing you gets me happy, you know. I'm just like, okay, pastor's happy again because he saw me, right? All right. So I put these points in the back of the bulletin. Like, some of them are going to be up on the screen too. We're going to work through these. I think this is a great thing to kind of look at. It's so hard. I'm like, there's so much more than 3 points in this passage. But this is very important. And I think, first point, the idea that ministry involves both caring and caution. You know, don't try this at home. Remember that warning on some of the, you know, remember that show? That's Incredible. And they'd always like, you know, there's the tagline or whatever, the little preface there. Don't try this at home. You know, this guy's about to, like, you know, put his hands through 50 pieces of plywood. It's like, okay, that does hurt. You know, if you try that and you don't know how to do that. But the caution really is when Paul says here, but if, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. There are people who have tried to go to rough places and reach their lost friends. Sometimes that's a bar. Guess what happens at the end of that night? They're smashed. I'm not saying that happens every time. I know some of the places out in Vegas where there's, you know, strips and you go places to watch, you know, nudity and all this stuff, and some people go in there to rescue these people out of that stuff, and some people have been torn apart. So just because you're a Christian and you want to help, it doesn't mean you're always able to help. And that's okay. And that's a very valuable truth, that there is development. Okay, keep this in mind. We're dealing with a world that is so sinful that it took the God of heaven to leave heaven in his Son, Jesus Christ, come to a sinful world and die on that cross, because that's what it would take. So you think this world is bad? Think of how God sees this world. And he made this world. But sin came in via our enemy of our soul, Satan, tempted Adam and Eve, and all of us are in this mess together. And there's only one way out. Jesus says, I am the way. In other words, I'm the way out. You are born into this world. Whether you like it or not, you're here, and God loves you. God loves you, and he has a plan for you. You're not by accident. You may not like what's going on in this world. I don't either. I don't have to like it. I can love Jesus. I can love him and remember that there's wisdom here. My wife and I have had to, we've been a part of helping a friend of our family for many years with an eating disorder. And it's been a difficult road for her, a long road. And at some point, we just said, we can't help you. Christ can help you, but we can't help you. We can encourage you. We can't take this away. God can if you will let him. And I'm not saying that's always easy too, because you remember what we're dealing with here. The pain and the problem in our life is this old nature called the flesh. Some Christians, I believe, do understand how to deal with the power to overcome the flesh. Some Christians never learn how to overcome their flesh. They might indeed be saved, but they continue to make provision for their flesh. You know, the flesh shows up when you're lonely, you're tired, you're angry. If you ever wonder, you know, how can I still speak that way? You're dealing with a part of you that God knows needs to be removed. And the beautiful thing that you have to remember, that when Christ dies on that old rugged cross on Calvary, he is taking with him your sin in full. He is actually so much so that he's removed it from you. And the moment that you receive him, that payment's applied to your life. And that's how you can be seen as a righteous person before God. You can get off that treadmill of trying to be good enough. That's what we all really want. Who doesn't want to be good enough? That was my agony. 12 years old, I'm thinking, I will convince God I will convince God that I'm good enough, and I will go to heaven. Okay? And that, you know, that just doesn't hold well, because now you're looking at, why was that cross even necessary? So run to the cross. If you haven't come, run. Run to him today. Just go. I'm here, and I'm going to go. I'm not. And some of you absolutely know you have, and praise God for that. I get to be with you forever. Woo-hoo! Party doesn't end. But so let's continue here. We're going to work through some of these scriptures. So a trespass is a sin. It could be anything in our life. It could be somebody's just overtaken. It can be burdens, and Paul's going to deal with some of that this morning, the burdens that can overtake a person. There's heaviness sometimes in this life. You're not meant to bear it alone. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's the invitation from our Savior. Wow. Isn't that great? So a trespass is a sin. It could be who of us doesn't know somebody impacted by opiate addiction? And then we just legalize more drugs to help it out. And so, you know, we got big problems going on today. And I understand there's certain drugs may be helpful. But generally speaking, most people, they want to get in on this thing. You know, who they don't, as far as their, they still want to escape pain. And drug use is often a way that people do that. It's only temporary, though, because the pain's still often there. So consider yourself, lest you also be tempted, as the apostle. So don't fool yourself that you think that you don't need to watch yourself in difficult situations. There are certain situations I will not put myself in because I'm still weak. And occasionally I get a glimpse of that, and I'll say, you know what? I'm staying clear of that. I'm not admitting failure. I'm just admitting I'm weak. And I could get myself into some serious trouble there. And that's okay. It's okay to be a lightweight. I'm going to be strong in Jesus, though. Right? Paul says, you know, so this idea that there's caring and caution needed when you come along somebody else, there are situations that our church will not get involved in. There's just be certain situations. We'll do our best to get the ball rolling, but there'll be certain things I'll say, I'm not here. We're not going to sit around here and counsel people on opiate addiction all day. I'll tell them about Jesus Christ, but we're not a place for all that type of therapy. There are places to do that. I will push people to those places to get the help that they need. If there are support groups dealing with certain levels of addiction, absolutely. I'm going to give people Christ. I'm going to hold that out as the number one decision that people need to make. But that's the thing that is, you know, big. The church needs to know what their mission is. The church gets dumped on all the time. Like, the church should do that. That's the church's burden. The church is to get people ready to be with God. That's the church's mission. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that go with that we learn how to walk with Christ and have a productive life this side of heaven and learn how to walk. But if there's certain things that will just pull you right down, they're just going to pull you down if you don't know what your limit is in those areas. So ministry involves carrying. This is this idea of a burden. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It is wise for you, Christian, all the time to say, I need God's help in that area. And I'm not going to make any provision for the flesh here. You know, if pornography is a struggle for a guy, stay off the internet. Just, you know, cut that cable if you've got to. Don't pay the money for it. I mean, there are things that sometimes we just have to make. Like, I'm just such a victim. I'm so weak. Well, admittedly true, but you're not just this victim that has to stay stuck. Bear one another's burdens. And so when somebody comes into our church, whatever need they have, I want to say, I want to help you. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. You know, let's meet together. Let's pray together. Let's talk through this. Let's give you Christ. Let's offer Jesus. I told you about the woman who was at the Wendy's a year and a half ago. My phone rings here at the church. The woman's bawling her eyes out. just, I'm lost in so many ways. So I drive down there. I get a couple of the other guys from the church to meet me down there. There you go. I'm not going into a situation alone with a woman, except that one. All right? So, she is the best. And the other one beside her, she's the bestie too. So, I'll go with her. You know, this idea of bearing burdens. Be careful as you bear someone's burden. Just know, you know, don't be the hero here. The hero is sometimes, I think, an underdeveloped Christian, and it's usually an eagerness to want to serve God. Who of us doesn't want to serve God well? I do. I sure do. But in these burdens that we're to bear with one another, we're to do that with God's grace. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is a law of love. It's the law of what he did for us. It's this, you know what somebody said, what's a Christian? It's one beggar telling another beggar where to get food, okay? You think about it that way. I'm just giving out what Jesus told me to give out. I want as many people to come. I can't make you come. I just want you to come. He says to come. Come to me, right? And there's an urgency by Jesus. I believe the clock is ticking. I don't know if that was a tick, but anyway, the clock is ticking for our lives, and we want to come while we can. For if anyone thinks he himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, have a sober assessment of where your gifting is as a Christian. Know what you can handle. And if you're stuck in that area, not to say that you can't grow in that area. This isn't just giving you a pass, never to help somebody. But if you are weak in a certain area, be careful. The scripture says bad company corrupts good morals. It's the truth. I've seen it happen. People wind up hanging out with the wrong people, and it's like, oh, Pastor Dave, I just realized I can't hang out with those people anymore. They bring me down. They are capital toxic. You know? And yes, you want them to know Jesus 100%, but you can't make them, and you should not be making provision just to be the bailout for everybody who always needs the help. Get yourself strong in Christ. And as you get stronger, God will use you. He will use you powerfully. So don't deceive yourself. I love what Paul says here, but let each one. So ministry involves carrying. You're going to learn to carry people's burdens responsibly. You can do that primarily through prayer and encouragement. Invite them to church. Invite them to be with you. Invite them to be with where you are. But ministry also involves clear focus. But let each one examine his own work. When you go to the doctor and he looks at your x-ray and he says, this is your problem. He's examining you. There's an internal reading in there that's going on that you and I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can examine ourselves. Examine what God has already done in you. Examine where he's already gifted you. Examine where he has given you great delight and joy. He says here, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. It's not arrogant for you to know that God's gifted you for certain things. How else are you going to know? I've got a guy in this church who says, God's called me to teach, and he demonstrated it this morning in that class. Pastor, God's put this desire in my heart to be a teacher. And so when you have guys that want to teach or they want to share and they feel this urgency by God to do it, as a pastor, I'm not stopping you. I'm going to try to do what I can to help you succeed. You got people in this church who are generous people. They help this church continue. They help the generosity of the things that we're doing, the Thanksgiving outreach, the survival of this building, to be here week after week after week. And many of you give sacrificially. You give. And God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that? God loves a cheerful giver. Don't put that money in the plate like, oh, I've got to give it again. You know, it's not the attitude you want. God, I get to give you this. I get to. Get to use these gifts for you. So, and I'm not saying, you know, some of this is a growth thing too, people. Some of this is just growth. The longer you hang with Jesus and the things of God, the greater delight you have in getting to do stuff for him. But Paul says here, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For each one shall bear his own load. There are certain things as a pastor that I cannot pass off to somebody else. It would be wrong for me to do that. It would be irresponsible. Go do that. There are some things I'm saying, you know what, that person can do that. And I'm going to gladly give it away. Because they might actually find that that's an area that they're going to develop in. That's going to be their area of gifting. And I've in these 3 years of being here, there's things I'm learning to pass off. Someone else can do the bank deposit. You know, someone else can help with a Thanksgiving meal. All the planning that we're doing, all the coordination. And the problem is I'm willing to do it all, but I'm just not smart. Let's put it that way. If I think I have got to do all this work, I don't want to rob anybody from an opportunity to serve here. And if I can't do it, I'm going to say, I can't do it. And my family's feeling that at times, like, you know what, we just got to give that one away again, you know, and it's okay. It's like there's plenty of need, and God's going to continue to supply. You came in this building for a reason. God has you here for a reason. He wants you to know that he wants to use your life. He wants your life devoted to him. So let a person with a ministry mindset should have a clear focus. What has God given me to do? If you don't know your gifting, there are plenty of opportunities in the scripture for you to see that. A lot of the gifting that you'd see that takes place in the church is spelled out in Paul's letters. This is church teaching. This is who we are. We are the church. The church is a person who's placed faith in Christ. We're part of a living organism. We're eternal creatures that could be with God forever. And now what you do here on earth, you're actually storing up treasures in heaven, or a lack thereof. So whatever you give to God, he's guaranteed to bless you. May not even be right now, but it's coming later. And Peter talks about that, that there will be a grand entrance for some people, an abundant entrance, because they use their life in such a way that say, you know, they get up and go to work that day, like, you know, I get to do this. Wow. This money by the end of the week is going to go to that work of God. Some of it. I've heard some pastors, they wind up donating their entire salary to ministry. That's not me. And that's not to, you know, but there are some people who just have this gift of generosity and they just love to give. And that's why Paul would say here in verse 6, let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. If this church is a blessing to you, you should support it. Whatever that looks like for you. Whatever that looks like. I don't believe that the Christian is under the tithe, but I don't believe it's wrong to tithe. If you give 10% of your income, praise God. If you give 20% of your interest, praise God. If you give 100% of your income, praise God. God loves a cheerful giver. If you can't give it with joy, it's really not worth giving. It's like, it's amazing that Jesus is the chief examiner. He's the chief seer of our motive. And he's the chief evaluator. That when we stand before him someday, as Paul says, there's going to be some piles of wood and hay and stubble. You know, I think that's the stuff we sort of did half-heartedly. You know, it's like, maybe I could have just had a little bit more heart in that. Maybe I could have saw the bigger eternal picture at stake here. And that's what we're preparing for, in one sense. That's what we're, every day, we're preparing to be with Christ. Whether you and I like it or not, we're going to die. If Jesus doesn't come first, we're going to face God. And there's no stopping that thing. But the answer is that now you have 100% assurance that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it takes you and I to go to people and say, this is what's possible because of him. Do you want it? Pray with me to receive Jesus Christ. Pray with me. So everything we do in church, everything we do should be thinking about long-term seeing Christ face to face. And if it becomes anything less than that, that he is the reason that we do ministry, he is the reason that we have joy, he is the reason that takes pain to privilege, his ministry can be greatly sacrificial. There are some people who tirelessly work in the work of ministry. I think of what having multiple times over the last month, we've had conversations with Bruce and Wendy DeVries, their missionaries with MAF. Bruce has had a plane crash. Wendy's had health issues. They served over 25 years with a mission organization, flying pastors, flying Christmas shoeboxes. Bruce said, yeah, some of our MAF flights, we actually fly the shoeboxes in. So when you see Bruce and Wendy, and you saw Bruce here a couple weeks ago, know it's guys like him that are helping to take these packages, taking them from East Wareham to places like Costa Rica. And I have no idea how Franklin Graham's organization is going to deal with this caravan thing. But I guarantee you that they're thinking about how do they minister to these people. Whether these people are coming to our country for the right reasons, I believe there's some really big problems with this caravan thing. And I'm not trying to be political, but there's some real problems going on. That why should our borders just be wide open? If somebody shows up in your tent, in your backyard tomorrow with a tent and say, I'm here to stay, be surprised that that's not going to sit well with you. And I think we as a nation have to be, this is being wise. This is being wise in this world. This is being wise in our church. And that's why I think when Paul, he's really saying, be responsible with your ministry. You do it well, but do it with the power of God. Do it with his resources, his discernment, his wisdom, so that when you're in these situations, you already know what's a good decision here and what maybe not a good decision. Dennis and I, a couple months ago, and probably maybe more than that, we're in a Dunkin' Donuts. This guy has got a really sad story. A lot goes on in Dunkin' Donuts, Danielle, so you know. People get saved in Dunkin' Donuts, and we also find out needs in Dunkin' Donuts. So here we are. We both like coffee. And this guy's giving us a very big, sad story. His son was just killed in Afghanistan. He's got health issues. He needs money, blah, 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 $80. Can you go pay the motel across the street, this and that? We come to find out. We do a little bit of couple-hour research. Dennis says, Dave, this guy's blowing smoke. None of this stuff is at least presently his situation that he's trying to get money out of your church. And so, I mean, people will call the church, hey, I can't pay my mortgage. I am sorry that you can't pay a mortgage. Come to our church. We do have a benevolent fund to help people in our church who really have legitimate needs, and we will gladly provide. We will gladly support what we can. There's no holding back here. If we can bless a person who's part of this congregation, we are going to do it because we want people to know that God is good. But if you just start throwing money at situations, this is unwise. You get yourself in trouble. You wind up, you know, you don't even meet your own needs. Be careful. So ministry does include rewards. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For if he sows to his own flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's that abundant entrance. As we grow in our walk with Christ and we get opportunities to serve God, it is amazing how there's such a reward even in that moment, in those times where we're, you know, we're just able to see, well, God, wow, look at how God met that need. Roland Steinman calls me, and I've told you this a lot. He calls me singing the chorus, Grace Lighthouse Fellowship has helped me. Roland still needs a lot of encouragement. Don't give up on encouraging him. And yet some of us, you know, seem to have a special heart for Roland and want him to know how much Christ is working in his life. And I want that for anyone in this church. I want to assure you. And there are times where I may fail at that too. And I don't mean to. But I want so much for us together as a church to continue to move forward, because we're preparing in one sense. We're preparing for all eternity. Up on the screen here, I asked Chris to... Chris, can you go to that slide? You know, when I think about this dinner, this is way more than just giving out food. This is way more than just giving out food. We're going to sink over probably, with all the generosity, over $2,000 to make this outreach possible. The reason we're doing it is because when people come in here and they experience a free meal, no charge, blessed, happy people, a good sense of, wow, what's going on in that building? It's because I want that to be a place where when the gospel shared that night, that they can make the connection that God's gift of salvation is free. It is free to be received. And that's what I think all of our outreach of this church should be. Anything that we can do, we should make people know that if we open our doors for anything to impact the community, it's because we want people to know Christ and want them to know this amazing, awesome gift that Jesus gives. And so that's just so important to me. And we be praying for that as a church, that we're not just thinking, this is not just about feeding people. This is feeding people twice. It's feeding them physically. It's feeding them spiritually. It's feeding them with something that is so good. Sometimes people just, they're disarmed. You give them free. But, you know, a lot of people have trouble with grace. I'm reading one of my commentaries this week. Somehow the grace of God frustrates people. What do you mean I can't earn it? What do you mean I can't do something? Can I pay you for that dinner? No, you can't. I actually want you to have this dinner completely free on this church, because we love you. More importantly, God loves you, and he's using us to show forth his love to you. But not just his love, his specific love in Jesus that you have to respond to. You need to see that for yourself. Therefore, Paul says in verse 10, this is finally, ministry requires faithfulness. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and I'd love for you to, in your own mind, circle that word opportunity. You and I don't always have opportunity. Opportunity can be taken from us quickly. It can come in the form of illness. It's like, oh, I meant to do that. My wife and I are evaluating our long-term finances right now. And there's some things in my life that I'm learning now. I lost certain opportunity for whatever reason. Maybe there wasn't enough there, whatever. But now I'm thinking in terms of, you know, what can I do now? So while I have opportunity, all of us should view this life, you have opportunity. That means you're living and breathing. While you're living and breathing on planet Earth, if you are wondering if you can stuff a shoebox, well, grab one, and you'll have great joy in going to stuff that shoebox this week. You'll know that some child's face is going to light up on the other side of the world because you stuffed a shoebox. If you can't do that, Beth has ways of you still being a part of that. Every part is vitally important. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Doing good to all is keeping in mind. Doing good to all is making sure that people know that they can know Jesus. That's really ultimately, that's the best good that you and I can do. That's the best good that ensures them a guarantee with God, a guaranteed future with him, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And that's where we talked about earlier, about caring for our own folks, doing our best. And there's so many good things happening on the inside of this church, going to the outside. People are making meals for each other. People are feeling that encouragement. So remember Jesus first in all that we're doing. Paul says, I fought the good fight. This is not in Galatians chapter 6, but this is what he said to Timothy. Timothy, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who've loved his appearing. So that's what we want to talk about as we head into the Lord's Supper tonight, right now. Have you loved his appearing? Have you loved the fact that he appeared for you? Do you know that you're in Christ today? Do you know that you know him? Do you want to know him better? I would encourage you to read Galatians chapter 6 again. And I also thought of some of you carrying great burdens. Maybe you feel like, I can't carry it anymore, Pastor Dave. Well, you know what? Remember, that's Christ who wants to carry that burden for you by his Spirit. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing.